Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the King, and he's the King of the Kingdom of God. In his preaching, he begins by saying, "Repent, for the Kingdom of God is at hand." He'll say, "The Kingdom of God is within you, within our hearts." He tells us in the prayer to our Father that we should say to God, "Thy kingdom come." This kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom of relationships. Most important, it's not a kingdom of political or economic power or fame. It's a kingdom of relationships, of relationship to God and to one another. And this kingdom of Jesus is a kingdom of true love. In the gospel passage I read, we see that those who live by this love, they go to heaven, where there is more love, where there is the perfect love of the mystery of God. Remember that God is love itself. And so those who live by love, they live in God, and God lives in them. Those who do not live by this love, they go to eternal punishment, separate from God and separated from others. They have no love, and therefore they go to the place where there is no love. One of the medieval poets, Dante, in his poem on the Inferno, he says that the lowest region of hell has the souls in ice, frozen in ice, because they did not have the warmth of love in their hearts. It's kind of a poetic interpretation of this gospel, but it makes a lot of sense. If you don't have the warmth of love in your heart, you won't experience love in eternity. But if you do have the warmth of love, you'll experience it more joyfully, more intensely in the kingdom of heaven. Now, this kingdom of Jesus, this kingdom of love, is something that we see in the gospel. It involves people, and we see all kinds of people who are somehow connected to the kingdom of Jesus. I want to focus on two people in the gospels and see if we can learn by how they lived in their relationship to God and to one another, and how they lived in this kingdom of Jesus. The first one is Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary. She lived this kingdom of Jesus perfectly because she was perfect. Her relationship to God was lived perfectly because she lived without sin. She had no sin whatsoever in her life. And she was also, in her relationship to God, docile to the Holy Spirit. She was someone who was looking for signs of the Holy Spirit, and she would be docile whenever the Holy Spirit came to her. In other words, she would listen and obey the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to Our Lady in many different ways, to people, to angels, and ultimately to the Holy Spirit himself. He came directly to her in the Incarnation. Now, in this relationship to God that Mary has, this relationship of love for God, we can imitate that. We have to turn away from our sins. That's a struggle for us, but we have to keep working at that. Then we have to try to imitate her docility to the Holy Spirit. You know, if you live in God's grace, if you pray, if you live by the teachings of Christ, if you want to do the will of God, you're going to grow in the ability to discern the signs of the Holy Spirit and docility to the Holy Spirit. So Our Lady has this relationship of love to the mystery of God, which is perfect, which we can try to imitate. Then her relationship to others is also one of love. In places in the Gospel, when people talk about Jesus, it says that Mary kept all these things in her heart. In other words, the things that people said about Jesus, the truth of Jesus, she kept in her heart. But all of the people that were connected to Jesus, she likewise kept in her heart. This is a sign of her motherly love and her living this relationship of love for one another, that she keeps people in her heart. And how many people down through the ages have gone to Mary as mother? On the cross, Jesus made her the mother of all his disciples, and she's lived that faithfully. One good sign that we are living in the kingdom of Jesus, like Mother Mary, is we build relationships. We try to build relationships based on grace and on truth. This is what Mary does. It's also something that Jesus teaches about in the Gospel. Remember when he says that the kingdom of God belongs to little children. If you look at little children, they love their friendships. They rejoice in their friendships. Having friends is a real treasure for them, a real gift. Well, Mary is like that too. She loves relationships that she has as mother to all of the disciples of Jesus. We need to work at that also, in building relationships based on grace and on truth. So Mary is the perfect example of living for the kingdom of Jesus, a kingdom of relationships to God and to one another. Now, the opposite example, in the extreme, opposite to Our Lady, is Judas Iscariot, the apostle of Jesus who betrayed him. Now, Judas was one of the 12 apostles. He was one of the elites in this religious community of the church, but he didn't care for the kingdom of God. He loved his position very much. It's kind of strange because he didn't want to live by the teachings of God whatsoever, but he loved his position in the community of the 12 apostles. He was in a position of religious power. He had the money, even though he was a thief. And he wanted to associate exteriorly with the apostles, with Jesus, but in his heart, he had nothing but darkness. He wanted nothing to do with the kingdom of God. For Judas Iscariot, his relationship to God was not one of love. He believed in God. He believed in Jesus. He had everything necessary for a life of sainthood because he had Jesus right there in his life, and it meant nothing to him. Personally, deep in his heart, he placed no value on his personal relationship to God or to the gospel. He believes in God but rejects him. And so his relationship to God is not one of love. So he's not living in the kingdom of God. Then his relationship to others also is not one of love. Judas is an expert at destroying relationships. He wants to destroy the relationship of Jesus to his people. He wants to do this by starting an insurrection against Jesus or by getting him crucified and rejected altogether by the people. He wants to destroy the relationship between Jesus and the apostles. And we see this, we see Judas try to do this on Holy Thursday. Think about this for a moment. Holy Thursday, you have the gift of the Eucharist at the Last Supper. you have Jesus bringing his friends together. And that's the night when Judas left and went to hand him over for 30 pieces of silver. And that's the night when a big fight broke out in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested and the apostles were dispersed. Judas somehow gets a thrill out of that. He wanted to be about the business of destroying relationships, especially good and graced ones. Judas also does not build relationships. If you look at his relationship to the chief priests who condemned Jesus, it's not a real friendship. They get along for a while, but they hate each other. The chief priests did not value Judas's life one bit. Judas did not value the chief priests one bit. They get along just for a little bit to destroy Jesus, but they really hate each other. Judas is on a path of self-destruction, and he's destroying his relationship to God and to others in the process. So you see these two extremes. One that we want to attain, the life way of Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then we see the other end of the spectrum, the one that we don't want to follow, is Judas Iscariot. Judas doesn't have any happiness. He doesn't live by the kingdom of God. Blessed Virgin Mary, our mother, lives for the kingdom of God because she has a relationship of love to the mystery of God and to one another. Judas doesn't have that at all. Now, our lives are somewhere on the spectrum, and sometimes we go in different directions, but we should try to stay with Our Lady in our hearts to live that spirit of love for God and for one another. In this way, if we live by this love of God's kingdom, the love for God and one another, while in this world, our hearts will be anchored to the kingdom of Jesus.